Let us turn in God's holy word, and we read from the Old Testament, first of all, from the book of Proverbs, the last chapter, Proverbs chapter 31. This will be followed by a New Testament reading in a few moments. So Proverbs chapter 31, first of all, and from verse 10, Proverbs about the virtuous wife. Proverbs 31 from verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now I'd ask if you turn forward to the book of Acts and to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and we're going to read the first 15 verses of this New Testament passage. Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. This is Paul's second missionary journey, and Timothy joins him and Silas on that journey. The author of the book of Acts, Luke, is no doubt also there with them. So Acts chapter 16, verse 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. After they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them. So passing by Mysia, they came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Therefore, sailing from Troas, we ran a straight course to Samothrace, and the next day came to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the foremost city of that part of Macedonia, a colony. And we were staying in that city for some days. And on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And we sat down and spoke to the women who met there. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshipped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay." So she persuaded us. Amen. Let us turn now in God's word to the book of Acts and to chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. From the prayer leaflet for our church's various camps, I noticed that the theme for the talks at the girls' adventure camp is remarkable women. That is, remarkable women of the Bible. Each day of the camp, you officers are taking a different woman of the Bible and giving a talk on that character to the campers. And so in line with that, for today's message, I've decided to also preach a sermon on a woman of the Bible. Not to steal any officer's thunder, I've chosen a character that none of the officers will be speaking on during the week ahead. And that is the character of Lydia, as we find her in Acts chapter 16. I think there are two Lydias who are camp officers, and perhaps there are even also some campers with that same name, I don't know. We take as the basis of this character study Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 to 15. The Apostle Paul was on his second missionary journey, travelling through Asia Minor, an area comprising of what is present-day Turkey. So if you know where Turkey is today on your modern map, you'll know the area here where Paul was. It was Asia Minor of that day. Paul desired to witness throughout that large area, but he was forbidden to do so by the Holy Spirit. Instead, with Silas, Timothy, and Luke, the author of Acts, Paul was led to go to Troas, an important seaport in Western Asia Minor, connecting trade routes from Asia Minor further west across the Aegean Sea to the seaport of Neapolis in Macedonia, in what would be today's Southeast Europe. It was in Troas that Paul received a vision of a man pleading with him to go over to Macedonia. So Paul and his companions, they set sail across the Aegean Sea. They arrived at Neapolis in Macedonia. From there, they went on to Philippi, Philippi is around 8 miles inland from Neapolis. Philippi was a leading city of the region of Macedonia, and it was also a Roman colony, as we learn from verse 12 of the passage. Paul, Silas, and Timothy stayed there for some days. Over those few days, it's very likely that they would have made inquiry about who and where the Jews of the city were. Is there a synagogue? And where is the synagogue? They would soon find out that the population of Philippi was overwhelmingly Roman. There's no synagogue, which means Jews are noticeably few. According to the rabbis, 10 male Jewish heads of families were able to establish a synagogue. But where are they likely to find Jews? Where there is no synagogue in a city, Jews will meet and worship by a river. For there, at least, they can carry out their ablutions, that is, their ceremonial washings. And so we read in verse 13 that Paul and company went out of the city to the riverside, where prayer was customarily made. And there they found women who were gathered together for Sabbath prayer. No men are mentioned, just women. Where are the men to conduct the worship service? One possible explanation is that the Jews had been banished from Philippi. Around this time, they had been expelled from Rome by Emperor Claudius, and the Roman colony of Philippi may have followed Claudius's example by banishing Jews from Philippi. There's just this handful of women left, probably those women with their children. And there they are, by the river outside Philippi, gathered together for prayer. And one of the women, a prominent woman, was a certain Lydia. She set forth as a good woman. She set forth to us as a good example of how to live life well and to the glory of God. For you young people of Adventure Camp growing into young women, Lydia in Acts is a good role model for you to aspire to be like. There are only a few verses in the Bible that mention this Lydia. Yet these few verses reveal much about the kind of woman she was. So let's look at some of the qualities of this lady from these few verses that we do have in Acts chapter 16. First of all, we see concerning Lydia that Lydia was a successful woman. Lydia was a successful woman. Luke says in verse 14, "Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira." She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira. Interestingly, Thyatira isn't in the region of Macedonia. It's in the region of Asia Minor and in the province of Lydia, a large area called Lydia in Asia Minor. It's located in what is now Western Turkey. So Lydia's name may have come from the description of the phrase, the lady from Lydia, or the Lydian lady. That's how she may have been described by the people of Philippi, given that name because of where she came from. Her real name, if it was different, hasn't been revealed to us. Lydia, at some stage in her life, had left Thyatira, crossed the Aegean Sea, and had taken up residence in Philippi as a seller of purple cloth. Purple dye applied to fine linen was very expensive to produce. Usually such garments were too expensive for ordinary people to buy. Purple garments were worn by emperors and by private citizens as a status symbol. So for Lydia to have been a manufacturer of purple dye and purple cloth would mean that she would have belonged to the class of wealthy merchants. We see from verse 15 that she owned a house, and it may have been a fairly large house, because she invited Paul and his companions all to stay there. They would need sufficient room to be able to stay there. She would need to be able to provide sufficient food for them to stay there. But the point we note here is that Lydia was a successful woman. She's the head of her own house, and she has a family, most probably her own children. Yet no husband is mentioned. And that means that she was either a widow or earlier in life, as a Gentile without knowing God, she had become divorced. Either a widow or divorced, we don't know. But she is alone as a woman with her children. Her background may not have been ideal for making a success of life, but she was obviously a hard-working woman, and she was determined to make a success of life. She had a good work ethic. Whatever happened in regard to her husband, Lydia somehow found motivation to succeed. Maybe she had no other choice. With a family to feed, she needed to work hard, she needed to make ends meet, and she did well. In Lydia, we see a parallel with the virtuous wife of Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 to 31, where that woman's hard work is commended as virtuous and an aspect of her godly character. So young people especially, here is something for you to aspire to. Do aspire to be successful in life. Do as well as you can do in your studies in school. Not everyone is called to be a businesswoman like Lydia, but her example of a woman who is hardworking is to be imitated. God has ordained work for both men and women. The type of work for each isn't always the same, but now's the time for you to be setting goals for life, thinking about what you will do in life, and to work hard at achieving that goal or those goals. That's honoring God with your life. That's His will for your life. Without a goal or goals for your life lacks direction, it lacks focus. Set yourself goals early in life in accordance with your ability, and you'll have a reasonable opportunity of being successful in something. And this, Lydia, is an example. Lydia was a successful woman. But Lydia was more than a successful woman, for we see, secondly, that Lydia was a spiritual woman. Lydia was a spiritual woman. Even before she heard the gospel through Paul and the others with him, we read in verse 14 that she was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira who worshipped God. Lydia worshipped God. At some point, most likely in Thyatira, Lydia had become a God worshipper, sometimes called a God-fearer in the New Testament. This description tells us she was a Gentile adherent of Judaism rather than a full-blown Jew. Otherwise, she would have simply been described as a Jew, but she's described as a God-worshipper or a God-fearer. Lydia's success in the world as a wealthy businesswoman didn't turn her away from God, as such success does for so many people. Not many wealthy people are God worshippers. Many of them tend to worship their wealth that becomes their idol. It consumes their time. They've little time for other people and certainly no time for God. But Lydia was not like that. She did have time for people and she feared God. She was an ardent adherent of the Jewish faith. She believed in the one true God. Most Gentiles of that time worshipped a whole gamut of Greek and Roman gods and served their idols, but not Lydia. As a God-fearer, as a God-worshipper, Lydia's life was exemplary. Before hearing the gospel, she was honoring God in the best way she knew how. Think of the thousands of people today in our land who have chosen not to go near a place of worship. So many who are not God worshippers, who have no fear of God, who are worshipping their idols, their own little gods, their entertainments on television or their recreations and sports, and they're doing so at ease. Their conscience doesn't accuse them at all. They're spiritually dead and they don't realize it. They don't seek after God. They don't fear God. They don't know God. They see their way of living life as innocent and harmless. But God requires of all people honor and worship. And it is to him they will someday have to give account. There is a price to pay for worshipping the creature of self and not the Creator God. As for you all here today, you are here. You are in the place of worship. It's a good place to be at this time. It's the right place to be on the Sabbath day. And like Lydia, you're offering up worship. If you have done so and are doing so sincerely from your heart, then again, you are like Lydia. You are at least a God worshipper. You're a God fearer. Again, like Lydia, at very least, you're showing some sign of being spiritual. But then we see something more about Lydia. There was a real change wrought in her as a consequence of meeting Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke. Lydia was a successful woman. She was a spiritual woman. But then thirdly, we see from her encounter with these men, Lydia became a saved woman. Lydia became a saved woman. The end of verse 14 says, "The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul." In other words, through Paul's preaching of the gospel, Lydia believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior, and she was saved. For some of you young people who are campers, I'm sure that most of you have been brought up to attend church. You've been through Sabbath school. You've probably gone to young people's meetings in your church. Like Lydia here, you've had good spiritual influences in your life. You worship God. But for some of you, it may be that the Lord hasn't yet opened your heart. You haven't yet embraced the gospel. You haven't confessed your sins, you haven't repented of your sins and asked Christ into your heart. When it says of Lydia that the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul, that is what is implied. As Paul explained the gospel to her, we can well imagine that he would have said to her, "Lydia, you have done well in believing in just one true and living God. You have done well to believe that the true and living God is the God of the Jews. But adhering to the Jewish faith in itself doesn't grant you a free passage to heaven and to eternal life. You, Lydia, need to have your sins forgiven. You need to be justified by God. You need to be declared righteous by God for God to be able to accept you into his heaven. We might also imagine how Paul would have spoken of God sending his only begotten Son into this world as Savior, and how Christ was and is that Son of God. How he lived a sinless life and then died a cruel death on a cross at Calvary. We can see how Paul would have explained that the Lord Jesus had died on the cross as a substitute for sin and for sinners. How he would have explained to Lydia that since Christ had no sin, the grave couldn't hold him, and he rose from the dead the third day. And he appeared to his disciples and many others. And Paul could say, and he appeared even to me, personally to me. We could see Paul explaining to Lydia that Christ's death would become effectual for her as the punishment for her sins if she would believe in Christ. Believe that he really did die for her in order for her to be forgiven and declared righteous by God. We could see Paul telling Lydia that the only way for her to be saved from the consequences of her sins is to confess them to God, repent of them, become a disciple of Christ, and all her sins would be forgiven. God would save her. By her believing, Christ's shed blood would become effectual in saving her. And Lydia could believe. And she did believe all this. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. This Lydia is the only Philippian convert who is named in Acts. And she's the first convert to Christ on European soil. Paul and the others had also spoken to Lydia about baptism as the sign of those who are saved and as the sign of those who are in a position to be saved, the children of one who believes. And at the beginning of verse 15, it tells us that Lydia and her household were baptized. What was necessary for Lydia is necessary for everyone who would aspire to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. We must believe, you must believe, the same gospel that Paul proclaimed to Lydia. Could it be that for a few of you campers, your heart has not yet been opened to heed the things spoken by Paul, spoken by the Lord Jesus himself in the gospel. Salvation is your greatest need. Be like Lydia. Heed what you hear today. Pay careful heed to your camp officers and what they say in the week ahead. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the power of his death, and you too will be saved. Lydia was a successful woman. She was a spiritual woman. She became a saved woman. And then fourthly and finally, Lydia became a supportive woman. Lydia became a supportive woman. Verse 15 continues, she begged us, saying, if you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us, the author of Acts says. Here was a mark of Lydia's conversion. She counted it a privilege to support Paul and his companions. She realized that these were good men, men of God, men sent from God even to her so that she would be saved. She had the means to support them and provide them with hospitality to supply their material needs while they were in Philippi. There was plenty of room in her house. Her readiness to serve and support the missionaries was an evidence of the genuineness of her faith. From verse 40 of this chapter, it appears that Lydia's home had become the first Christian church in Europe. In that verse, Paul and company have been released from prison and they go to the house of Lydia. And the verse finishes, "And when they had seen the brethren, they encouraged them and departed." There were other believers in Philippi. They were gathered together at the house of Lydia. For a time at least, Lydia's home had become a meeting point, a place of worship for those who had come to know Christ as their Savior. Following conversion, how important to be in the company of other believers, not to be isolated. Believers need encouragement. They can encourage one another. They're encouraged through listening to the preaching of God's word. They're encouraged in being together, supporting one another. The believer who has plenty or even enough should be ready and willing to support, to give support to the believer who has little. So if you're a believer, if you're converted to Christ, an evidence of that will be that you will want to and you will actively give of yourself to others. You will be involved where you know you can be involved with the life of your church. That's why it's good that you girls have all come together to a Christian camp, being together, being able to support one another. And in this, Lydia sets an example. From the moment of her conversion, she just loved to be in the presence of other believers, worshiping God with them, spending time with them, looking out for specific needs that she might give support to the needy. Lydia was a successful woman. She was a spiritual woman. She became a saved woman. And Lydia became a supportive woman. Campers, the greatest success for you is to be spiritual and to be saved, to know sins forgiven, and to know Christ as your Savior. If you know and you love Him, you will want to be like Him. There's no one who gives support like He does. He cares. The Lord Jesus cares for the lonely and the downcast. He says to those who are troubled that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. All who come to Him find true rest. If you don't yet know Him, this day is an opportunity. This week at camp is an opportunity for you to seek Him and to find Him. Lydia opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. Will you open your heart to these same gospel truths? To refuse to do so is great loss for you. To embrace the gospel is great gain, even your salvation. Amen.